Your customers are your friends and you have a relationship with them. You have a friendship with your customers. So the closer they feel to you, the better.
Welcome to We Growth Show. What keeps us driving is what drives you further. This is your hosts, Sebastian Kunz
and Sarah Kaya.
We are here today with Adi Arizini, co-founder and CEO of Teamy Blends. Adi, it's a pleasure to have you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So let's rock just quick and short, like the elevator pitch everyone likes to hear. What is Teamy Blends and what makes it special?
Teamy Blends is a lifestyle brand that creates wellness and skincare products inspired by the health benefits of tea. And what makes us special is that all of our products are created with the purpose of helping someone with a certain solution, whether it be for their beauty or for their wellness routine. We really focus on how it's going to provide help for the customer.
Very, very cool. That was a very good pitch, I think. And I think you have an impressive background. You just mentioned that you moved to the US in the sweet age of 6 years old, and you've had quite a career path. Could you say some sentences about that?
Sure. You know, my family immigrated to Florida when I was six from Israel, and I really grew up in a very low income family. So I've been working and earning money for myself since I was 9 years old. And I always had jobs because it was kind of the situation where you needed to earn money so that you could feed yourself. And it wasn't always that dire, but that was the mentality that I had growing up. And if I wanted anything, I would have to go out there and earn it myself. And after that, I always babysat and nannied through high school. I worked at a postcard marketing company for a few years after high school. And then I decided to spontaneously go back to Israel and join the Israeli Defense Forces because I honestly had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. So I made this drastic change at the age of 19.
Yeah, you already mentioned some things, but saying that you started working and earning your own money is, on the age of nine, I think the next question you can actually answer in a pretty easy fashion. So if you connect the dots looking back, grow them yourself, how would you describe these steps?
I think that I would have a goal or a dream, and it would force me to grow because whatever that goal or target that I was trying to achieve, it would force me to get out of my comfort zone and do things I hadn't done before. So because I was so motivated to change my life, I didn't want to continue to have kind of a low income struggle to survive kind of life. I wanted a better life for me and for my mom. So I would set targets and set goals, and the growth would come when I would do actions toward those goals.
That's a pretty great answer, and I think it's a great start to our next question towards your entrepreneurial journey. How did you actually start with Teamy Blends, and what were your first ups and downs?
I've had so many ups and downs, so there's definitely a lot to talk about there. But when I was in the Army, I started having really bad digestive issues, kind of out of nowhere. My digestive system just stopped working, which means that like I was going to the bathroom once a week. Like that's how bad it was, which is not a healthy way for your digestive system to work. The purpose of your digestive system is to take in the food that you're giving it and take in the nutrients for your body that it needs for fuel and then get rid of the rest. But my body wasn't getting rid of the rest. It was just keeping it for later. And that caused me to have this huge bowling ball of a stomach. It looked like I was 5 months pregnant when I wasn't. And I was trying everything, drinking water, eating more fiber. I became addicted to coffee. I was drinking like 5 cups of coffee a day because that was the only thing that was stimulating my digestive system. And when I got out of the army, I was like, okay, I'm 22 years old. There's no way that I could be having such bad digestive issues at this age. And it was affecting my mood and my energy and my overall health. And that's when I started researching colon health, digestive health, gut health, how that affects the rest of the body, and what can I do naturally to improve it. And I kept seeing tea come up as a natural alternative. So that's when I started really looking at tea and started blending my own.
That's very cool. So you took a problem that you saw personally and actually made a business out of this. So this is, I think, very, very cool. And I think this is also the why to the question why you even started the company at that point, right? Because you saw a problem that not only you have, but also a lot of other people, and you decided to create a solution for it.
Yeah, and I think that what's important to mention is that I wasn't like, wow, I have this problem, let me make it a business. Like, that's not how it happened. So I was very motivated to solve the problem, because when you have like a health issue go on, at least me personally, I get very motivated to change, because, you know, I wasn't going to the bathroom, I was tired all the time, I couldn't wear tight clothing. It was just really affecting so many areas of happiness in my life. And I was exercising and looking for all of these different solutions. And because I was looking for, I was genuinely and passionately looking for a solution. I wasn't looking for what business should I start. I was just like really looking for a solution. And then afterwards it became a business. But there's a lot of people that are on the flip side are like, what business should I start? And they have to really start more about what are you passionate about, or what are you interested in? Not like what can make me money.
That makes totally sense. And passion drives a lot of more than just thinking of money. But business is all about money usually. So let's talk numbers. How many recurring customers do you currently have?
So one of the percentages that we're really proud of is that out of our monthly revenue and our monthly orders, 40% of our income is coming from recurring customers every single month. And we're not a subscription model company. So these are customers that are happy with our product and are coming back to either get more of that same product or try a new product.
That's really cool. That's a very high number, 40%.
Yeah, it's definitely a high number for e-commerce. So we're very proud of it, and we're always always looking at it.
Did you ever think about a subscription model?
We have a subscription model for one of our products, our 30-day detox program. But, you know, I just don't think that that's where our company is going. I think it's very important that you do what you're good at. And I think that as we grow, we will have options for subscription, but we're not like trying to get people to subscribe, where, you know, another company, let's say they're a subscription box, their whole business model is around that. For us, we more want to educate the customer and get them the product that they really need. And because we're in the wellness space, people's wellness changes. They might not need the same product on subscription for 3 months or a year. So I don't know if it really makes sense for us to push it, but I think that we will definitely have more options available for people that do want it as an option.
To be honest, I think a subscription model is an interesting idea in general, but a few years ago, I used the Amazon subscription model itself for toothbrushes. But at the end, I didn't actually use that fast how I expected to be the toothbrush, because I didn't renew it that fast. So I got a new one and like a package of, I don't know, 6 or 7 for my electrical toothbrush. And I didn't expect to get it anyways because I forgot about it, which is actually from a business perspective pretty great. But from the personal perspective, it's not that great because, I mean, I didn't have to just spend that money at that time.
Yeah, and I think that it's really important to think about the consumer. And I'm learning this more and more. Like, I've literally just a few days ago had some big mindset shifts on this. But you really have to think, like, is this the best thing for the consumer? Like, do they need to get a new detox every single month? Is that what they need in their lives? Like, I don't know if that, do they really need a new toothbrush every single month? Like, or Because if you're just thinking about the subscription model, about selling that same product again and again and again, it might not really be helpful to the consumer. Where other businesses, like if you're doing like a grocery subscription box, it makes sense because you're using that product and it's fun and you're making new recipes, or there's just companies that really do it right and it really makes sense for their company. And there's companies that I think are just forcing it. And I felt like I was forcing it. That's why I didn't really dive down that path very much.
How did that mind shift happen? Like, did you talk to anybody, or did you have any board meetings, or how did you come to that conclusion?
Yeah, I actually, I'm a huge advocate of talking to people that have more experience than you. So I have 3 or 4, you know, mentors or people that I go to for advice. And I was talking to actually to my father-in-law, which is a business consultant. And I was really struggling with some issues that the company is facing right now. And he really put it into perspective that I need to think about the consumer more, and that needs to be at the forefront of my mind. And I'm just going to write out a plan of how we're going to accomplish that.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. Just another question that just popped up in my mind. Why did you decide to start the company actually in Florida? Because usually when we see U.S. companies being founded, this happens mostly at the other side of the country.
You know, I get asked that question a lot. People think that Teamy is either in New York or L.A. It's so funny.
Was that an active decision, or was it just personal reasons that made you start where you lived and you had your network there?
Yeah, it's where I live.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it makes total sense. And I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful place. Speaking of e-commerce, Ali, I think one number that is really interesting for everyone is the returns, right? So the same as for fashion companies or wellness, people order a lot, but people return what they bought. So could you tell us a little bit about your experience there and how you maybe tackle those issues?
We have a very small amount of returns, so it's not a big issue in our company, but we're improving it all the time, but we just make it very simple for the person. If they did not have a satisfactory experience, that they can quickly email us and we can either resolve their issue or they can get a return of the product. So it's, again, just making sure that you're putting the customer first. And if they're not having a good experience, then they shouldn't have that product. You want people to be walking around with your product, your shirt, your skincare product, and be very happy and proud of it, because that's going to lead to referrals. If someone's unhappy and you refuse to give them a refund, then they're going to have that product in their house, or they're going to throw it away, and they're just going to be unhappy about it. So they're not going to breed any more good faith for your brand.
With how many products did you actually start in the beginning? Was just one?
No, we had 5 different teas that we made in the beginning. I wanted to have, you know, a good start. So we formulated 5 different blends. And then after that, we started adding on more and more. And I think now we have over 60, 70 SKUs. But it's because we have a lot of variations of our tumblers in different colors. But we have over 15 different tea blends. And we have 6 skincare products. And then we have a lot of accessories.
And how did you actually develop new products? Did you just also like talk with your customers and clients what you had and just figured out what way needed actually? Or was it just through market research yourself, what is on the market and what is not? Or how did you tackle that one?
I think it's a mix. There was definitely certain products that I decided to come up with myself, certain tea blends. For example, last year I was on my honeymoon in Thailand and I discovered this purple butterfly tea that I had never even heard of before. And although it has existed for, you know, centuries, I was not aware of it, even though I'm in the tea space. I wasn't really aware of it. So I decided to make my own blend of this color-changing beauty tea. And I blended the butterfly tea with stevia and jasmine. And we launched it earlier this year, and it was we went out of stock in like 5 days. Then we got more of it and I went out of stock again, and we're going to get some of it back soon, but it's just was such a big hit. And I didn't necessarily ask my customers about that, where there are other products that I make that, for example, right now I'm making a skincare cleanser, like a facial cleanser. And that's something that my customers have been asking for because we surveyed them. So I'll work on a product that I know they want me to make too. So it's a combination of both.
That's really cool. Did you supply that tea from Thailand? Did you have any suppliers there or how did that work?
Yeah, we have to get it. We have to get the different teas from where they're grown. So the butterfly tea is 100% from Thailand. And we bring it into our factory and we take the ingredients because we're blending different ingredients. We're not selling one ingredient. And so we're blending these three ingredients together, packaging it, and then shipping it to the customer.
Super cool. So the first five teas that you had, did you all get them from the same country, or how did that work?
No, there's still, again, every one is a blend. So we're getting different ingredients and from different countries, formulating the tea and blending it.
Okay, but from how many, like from how many different countries were the first five products that you were selling?
I think six countries.
That's cool. And you did this all yourself. You researched this and you reached out to the people, to the suppliers, and negotiated the deals, and then you made things happen?
Yes, but I have a business partner that's he's my best friend, and we have owned Teamy together for 5.5 years now, and he had a background in tea and coffee. So we worked on the formulations together, and I definitely couldn't have done it by myself. And we, you know, he brings something to the table. I bring a whole other set of characteristics to the table. So we do it together.
And what kind of a role did the reviews on Google, Facebook, or Coded play? I mean, in the beginning, you usually don't have any reviews, but in time, you have quite a few. What kind of a like value do you see there for your e-commerce?
Huge value. I mean, especially, you know, Google and Facebook have different value to us. But for example, with Google, the rating that we get there is so important because it tells Google how relevant our site is and how happy the customer is that is going there. If they went there and they got what they needed and that the customer was happy with their experience, when Google gets those good ratings, then it allows more people to see our site organically. So even though it's hard to track, you just know that doing a good job and having good reviews overall is going to be beneficial for you in the long term with Google. And with Facebook, the same thing. It's really important that customers are getting spoken to on whatever platform that they're talking on. So we make sure that everyone has a response, whether they're contacting us through Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or Google or our email, that they get a response. And we see that the reviews are always around how great the products are and how great our customer service was. If they had a problem, it was solved, or how they loved the product and how it worked. So it's so important with the Facebook reviews and the Google reviews, because people are thinking so fast these days. They might go to Facebook for 2 seconds to check out your Facebook page, and they might just go straight to the reviews and leave. So if you have like a 2-star review rating on Facebook, they immediately lose trust and they move on. You're definitely going to have a group of people that will still look into it more if they're really interested, but it is important that your reviews are real. They're not fake, and that people are understanding what you're doing through your reviews.
As you mentioned, I mean, most of the time, I mean, even if I buy stuff on Amazon or somewhere else, I always like look for reviews, and we're always like bad reviews, of course, because people expect different things or whatever happened, even some things like in the shipment happened wrongly or whatever. How do you deal with bad reviews?
You know, when we get a bad review, like even something that's public, like Facebook, right? We can't control what people are writing. So if we get a bad review, we respond to that review. We have a person that's checking those reviews every single day. And when there's a bad review, we respond to the customer and we try to even find them in our CRM and maybe even reach out to them and be like, hey, you know, Samantha, we saw that you had, you know, a problem with this shipment. I would love to help you. And being proactive and reaching out to the customer, whether it's through Facebook or wherever they contacted you on, and doing our best to handle their question or their upset.
So you have people actually taking care of this, of the reviews, and making sure that every customer gets an answer in time.
Yes.
Awesome. How many people do you have in total working in your company?
Right now, we have about 55 employees.
That's good. And you started the company around 6 years ago, right?
Yeah, 5.5. It'll be 6 in October.
Cool. And I mean, checking Crunchbase and all these sources online, we can see estimated annual revenues, etc. And if you look back on the journey that you were on for the last 6 years, could you identify like a key factor that's supported your growth to the user base that you have now or achieved the 40% of recurring customers? What was like the 1, 2, 3 key factors that really helped you grow to the point where we're at right now?
I think the first one was deciding to use social media to sell my products, because that, you know, 6 years ago, Instagram was not what it was today. I actually can't believe how things have changed on Instagram right now to what it was 6 years ago. No one was using Instagram to drive sales 6 years ago, barely anyone. And so now everyone is doing it. And getting on that platform, what I did, I think was really beneficial for us. And it created a lot of good faith with our customers. So before, brands felt very empty and very far away. And Instagram allowed me to talk about my products in a very natural, organic way. And it allowed people to feel emotion toward me and toward the company. And it was just way better than the option of going to farmers markets in my local community and selling my product. So the decision that I made to do it online was definitely one of the best first decisions that I had made.
And it makes brands like yourself so much less distant, right? Usually when you write an email to the support email or something, like, it doesn't feel like you're really interacting. And I think with social media, this gives companies and entrepreneurs like yourself the great chance to be in touch with your customers and to be close.
That's exactly what it is. And the closer you are to your customers, the better. You know, it's like your customers are your friends and you have a relationship with them. You have a friendship with your customers. So the closer they feel to you, the better.
Yeah, definitely. So you would say that Instagram actually played an important part for you in the early stages, even though it wasn't that big at that point?
Enormous, because I didn't have any budget for marketing and I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't go to school for marketing. I had no idea. So I'm literally just like posting pictures of my tea on Instagram and not knowing what I'm doing at all. But that, it almost gave me practice and taught me how to market, what to do, because I was able to also see other companies on the platform doing other things. And it just allowed me in an organic, free way to market my products when I had no idea what was going on. So my investment as an initial business owner was very small because I didn't have to put any money towards it at all.
So did you in general like try to use the organic traffic of the social media, or did you do anything in special to just grow your community?
In the beginning, it was just organic because I didn't have any money to do anything. When I started making more money, I started, you know, playing with Google and playing with Facebook and playing with ads and playing with lots of different, back in the day, like 6 years ago, there would be lots of different apps to like help you grow your following. So you're testing them out, seeing if they work. Are they real? What's going on? So you're doing a lot of testing in the beginning.
Of course. I mean, it's always like experimenting and trying things out. But what is currently your most favorite kind of campaign you've run so far?
Campaign in which way?
Like in social media, I mean, it could be just a post, it could be like actual advertisement with Instagram and Facebook and co, or something else.
I think I like to do educational types campaigns where I'm teaching the consumer about their gut health. And that's, I think, my favorite, because we get the best response out of that.
Did you use any help of any influencers in the early stages of Instagram, or do you currently work with influencers to spread the word of your brand?
Yes. Influencers have been a major part of Teamy, and people usually even find out about us because maybe their friends or family, or they've seen an influencer post about us on Instagram. When I, again, back to the beginning stage of the business, I felt so uneducated about PPC and digital advertising that I wanted to use my time to work with influencers. So I could send them free product, but I couldn't, you know, pay for ads, but I could send them free product. And that's when I really got into understanding how important influencers are. They're such big advocates of a brand, and they can create real conversation and real buzz about it, where, you know, PPC and Facebook ads can only do so much. So we started using influencers right in the beginning, and now we work with hundreds of influencers every single month.
So if you speak about influencers, do you mean micro-influencers or actual influencers, like with a huge following? Or what kind of influencers do we are talking about?
We work with both. You know, we work with a lot of micro-influencers because I believe that micro-influencers have a bigger impact on their audience. Their audience is just smaller. But we work with the smaller influencers. We work with the bigger ones all across the board.
You have an impressive amount of followers on Instagram. We will share to the listeners out there, we will share, of course, all the links below the podcast. But would you say that Instagram is your main sales tool at the moment? Or do you sell more over your website in the classic web shop?
Well, the Instagram leads them to our website. So that's where they're going to purchase. But most of our organic traffic is coming from Instagram. And that's what our analytics show.
How did you achieve to grow to 1 million followers? I mean, this is also a story of growth, right? Because how many people do have 1 million followers? Not that many. So I think you've had some really good people on board, or did this yourself to grow to this impressive number?
Yeah, it was all internal, but there's a couple of different key aspects that definitely attribute to follower growth. We do a lot of giveaways of, like, you know, follow us and follow this other brand and you can enter to win this vacation or this product. So giveaways definitely drive a lot of new followers. And then it's your job to keep them interested in continuing to follow your brand after that. Also working with influencers. Every time you work with an influencer, you're getting exposure and you're getting new followers because they're talking about a brand and they're like, oh, this influencer loves this brand. Let me go follow them. So there's just a lot of different aspects that always help drive it, and we're constantly growing it, and we like to see 20,000 to 30,000 Instagram follower growth every single month. And it changes, though. You know, sometimes we'll have a slower period and sometimes we'll have a faster period depending on what's happening. Did we launch a new product? Did we work with a new big influencer that lots of people like? Did we have an amazing giveaway? So a lot of different things can affect our growth. But a good thing to know is that you can be in control of it.
That's cool. So besides influencers and giveaways, did you have any major marketing tactics to really support your Instagram community to grow? Or would you say you pretty much just delivered the right message with the right people?
I think it's just delivering the right message with the right people. The other thing is we post 4 times every day for the last 5.5 years. So we're constantly pushing out messaging and targeting and talking to our community, and that builds growth because more people are seeing it.
Like, do you do that automated, or do you really have someone to post at a certain time of the day, or do you set that up in advance and then let it run?
We set it up in advance. So we will set up our feed and we'll add in our captions and everything that we want. Of course, there are things that are done day of, but most of it is set up ahead of time.
Do you have any recommendations for the people listening that are maybe thinking about starting their own business, or they're already running a small business, to really boost this growth?
I would say getting your stuff scheduled ahead is going to give you more time to work on marketing tactics. So we use a platform called Schedugram. And so that's the one that we use for Instagram specifically. But there's many other ones that you can use. And then as far as growing, you have to be consistently posting and you have to give people a reason to follow you. So if you're just posting about your product or your services, it doesn't really give them a reason to follow you. Like, what are they getting getting? Are they getting tips? Are they getting advice? Are they, is there a giveaway happening and they want to win? Like, what is it that they're, that you're giving them that makes them follow you? Because if you're just trying to sell to them all the time, a product or service, it just doesn't, it's just not something that's followable. Like, people follow celebrities and they follow influencers because they're giving them some sort of advice, content, help through their platform. And that's why they keep following them. So you have to take that same mindset as a business.
Yeah, and I think that really brings us back to the beginning of the interview, really putting the customers at the center and creating something that actually helps people.
Exactly. Like, it has to have a real purpose.
You mentioned giveaways as well. Like, did you do so far like partnerships with other brands which are complementary to your products, or what kind of giveaways did you think of so far?
Yeah, so that's exactly what we do. So we find other brands that have a similar mission or a line, or, you know, would make sense to do a giveaway with them. Sometimes we do giveaways by ourselves where we'll give away a huge bundle of our products. So there's different things that we've done before, but yeah, we try to keep it interesting so that our followers keep coming back and wanting to join the giveaways.
I mean, you have a lot of experience in this. Did you find it more successful to give away like a small amount of products or one big chunk of products at a time?
The bigger, the better. The bigger value of what you're giving away, the more people that are going to participate.
Yeah. And the more people are going to comment and like and share.
Yeah, like one time we gave away a laptop and that was crazy. Like, we gave away like an Apple MacBook and we got a ton of people that were excited about that. Or we gave away like an Apple Watch or an iPhone. Like, and then we'll give away something smaller. Like, we'll, and then we don't get as many people that are excited about it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I'm giving away a laptop. What was that strategic reason behind this? Because this is not connected to your brand in any way. Was it just to really boost your followers, or?
Yeah, because we saw that people were really interested in electronics. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, we surveyed our customers and they were interested in iPhones, Apple Watches, laptops. Like, that's what they wanted. And then it was interesting because last month we did a giveaway with a 1-year gym membership, which is way more lifestyle based, like our brand. And it didn't do as well. And it didn't do as well with our consumers. It was very interesting.
And is there anything else, like any other channels that you're using at the moment mainly for sales except Instagram? Are you doing a lot on Facebook, YouTube, or even LinkedIn?
As far as ads or organically, you mean?
Both. I mean ads and organically. I think this is also very interesting.
Yeah, we do a lot of Facebook ads, but we have not really conquered YouTube ads yet, and we have not, and we post on YouTube videos, but we don't have a traditional YouTube channel where, like, in how an influencer does, where they're posting weekly videos about a specific topic. It's more like videos about our products, so it's not the same. Instagram is our main organic channel. Are pretty much our only organic channel that we really focus on. Of course, we post on Facebook organically and we post on YouTube organically, but Instagram is where people follow us the most. And we use Facebook and Instagram ads very, very much every single month.
How many actually humans do you think are interacting on Instagram with you?
Ooh, I would have to look at my insights. Thousands, hundreds of thousands every week.
But what do you think, how many like bots are like engaging with you on that term? Because I think that's a huge issue with Instagram most of the time.
Oh, okay. I have no idea. Like, I can tell you that there are definitely some bots that are following us. I just don't know how to get rid of them.
I mean, it's always annoying, I have to admit. But in terms of influencers, the thing what would be, I think, interesting from my perspective is, what kind of a partnership do you usually do with influencers? I mean, like, micro influencers have usually like different conditions than a huge influencer with millions of followers, of course. But what kind of a partnership do you usually do with them? And if you work with an actual influencer, if you speak in terms of like following of huge millions of people, how do you see the like in terms of what kind of a budget should a startup or a founder think of if they think about doing stuff like that as well?
Well, it's a little bit different. Each influencer has their own terms, and it's okay to negotiate with them. I think that people don't want to negotiate with influencers, but you must negotiate because these terms are so different for every single type of influencer. And you have to see if they're going to bring real value and if you can get ROI on your investment. That's why if you are starting a business and you don't have a lot of capital like I didn't, I definitely suggest working with micro-influencers where you're building a real relationship with them over the product. Like, they love the product. They want to try the product. And they will talk about your brand and promote your brand just so that they can try your products. And that's the best, most organic avenue you can take. And it's also the most cost effective.
And I mean, how easy, well, not easy, but how simple is it to actually spread the word of your product over influencers that actually really believe in your product and really enjoy the product? So I think this is the best message ever to get the best way, let's put it this way, to get the message across.
I think that it's fairly simple. I think that people just need to get organized. Like, I built a system internally. Okay, I reach out to this influencer via email and direct message on Instagram. And if they don't respond in 4 days, I'm going to follow up. And once they do respond and they do want to try the products, I ship them out the products. Then 1 week afterwards, I follow up to make sure that they receive the products. A week after that, I ask them, how did you try the product? How did you like it? Do you have any questions? And then the next step is really setting up a date and a time of when they're going to be talking about our products. And so it just takes a lot of organization and follow-up, which is it's not rocket science, but I feel like most companies fail at the follow-through and execution of it. And that's where we kind of excel.
What kind of budget do you think should an entrepreneur have if they are planning to work with an actual influencer in average?
It really depends if they have capital, if they don't have capital, what kind of product they have, what kind of profit margin they have on those products. But I would say, you know, it would be good to start off with maybe even $2,000 a month to get started. But, you know, you want to be able to increase that budget to $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 if you can.
Did you have any role model on your way? I mean, you mentioned earlier that you had someone who gave you business advice, but did you have one particular person that helped you throughout your entire journey?
Not in the sense of like helped me all along the way, but I did have a mentor that, you know, every couple months, if I was struggling with a problem, that I could always call her or text her and ask for her help. And she still helps me today.
That is very valuable, I guess.
It's huge.
What was the most valuable advice your mentor gave you so far?
You know, it's really to understand that you have to play the long game. If you keep getting tied up into the daily losses and the daily failures, and you're not keeping in perspective the years and years of growth you have to do, you'll just beat yourself up. You have to think about the long game. So even though Teamy's been around for 5.5 years, I need to think about what it's going to look like in 10 years and how it's going to evolve in the next 10 years. And then I'll be thinking about 20 years. So I think that a lot of the time, I can say from personal experience, if you had a bad day and it feels like the whole world is coming down on you, you have to just take a second and get some perspective. Because if you're doing what you're passionate about and you believe in it, then you need to think about the long game.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, this is awesome. I really enjoyed the stuff that you said, Adi, especially that you started the company by the simple purpose of helping other people from a need that you actually encountered yourself, as well as the fact that you mentioned that you set yourself goals and milestones along the way that forced you to really move into the right direction. And what we also really enjoyed is the fact that you said put your customers in the center, because at the end of the day, the customers are your friends. And I think this is what many people don't really follow through at the moment. They identify a niche where they think they will earn a lot of money in a very short time, and they don't think about the long-term growth and the long-term success that is needed. What you're doing right now, I mean, you just mentioned you've been around for 6 years, but you need to think about what's happening in the next 5 or 10 or 15 years. And especially, it's like for all the people out there who want to grow their brand on social media, there's one simple advice, and I think this is give people a reason to follow you. And I think you're doing a very, very good job when it comes to this.
Thank you so much.
Ali, it was a pleasure having you today. Thank you so, so much. And we'll provide all the links below the podcast to make sure that people are following you and your company and your awesome products. And we wish you good luck along the way.